Good evening. Good evening, everyone. This is Arthur Pearly Martin with Biblical Principles for Inner Healing, you guys. I dropped in for a second, for a minute, for a moment, because I want to exhort you, encourage you, and remind you that to have childlike faith. I want to ask the question. Do you have childlike faith? You know, guys, we're getting ready to deal with this issue, but one second, one moment, we're going to pray first. Father, we thank you for being in the midst of us, for being amongst us, Lord God. You said that you would lead, guide, and direct us as we acknowledge you in all our ways. Father, give us ears to hear, a heart to receive, eyes to see. In Jesus' name, Father, we come before you humbling ourselves like a little child, saying, Lord, create in us a clean heart so our heart will be good ground. In Jesus' name. So we can receive your word, hear your word, and bring forth fruit. You guys, I'm getting ready to get into it. My question is, because you know I got to know, because you guys know I got on the other side. I got to know, do you have childlike faith? Jesus tells us in Matthew's, let's pull it up here, that we must have, except we come to him as a little child, we cannot inherit the kingdom of God, right? Except we come to him in Matthew 18:3-5, New King James Version says, assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as a little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Thank you, Lord. How many of you know that children have childlike faith, right? As believers, we too must have childlike faith. We must come to the Father. We must humble ourselves like a child, seeing him as our Abba Father. He tells us, he said, lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge me, and I will direct your path, right? He's telling us, listen, children, as children, we know that we need parental guidance. So we have to come to him and ask him for permission, ask him to lead us and guide us and direct us. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not into thy own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. And then he goes on to say, and be not wise in your eyes. Depart from evil and be not wise in your own eyes. Listen here. As children of God with childlike faith, our Abba Father does not want us sitting around trying to figure out anything. So I've been telling people lately what the Lord told me is mind your business, stay in a child's place, because that's what children do. Remember, we used to tell our children all the time, stay in a kid's place. Well, the Lord is saying, listen, I need you to stay in a child's place. I got this. I am your Abba Father. Cast all your cares, cast all your worries, cast all your fears upon me, because I care about you. I got this. Just like a child, just like you don't want your children going around being burdensome and worried down, and your kids ain't going around, I wonder how we're going to get the back gas bill paid. I wonder how we're going to get the light bill paid. They ain't going around worrying about stuff like that. Well, the Lord is saying in 1 Peter 5:7, amplify, cast all your cares, all your anxieties, all your worries, and all your concerns once and for all on him. This is the Amplified Bible. For he cares about you with the deepest affection and watches over you very carefully. Listen, God is our Abba Father. He's a good, good Father. He's not a dad beat dead. Okay, you're not alone. I don't care how alone you feel. It's not possible to be alone as a born-again believer, because God is not just for us. God is not just with us, but the Spirit of the living God is on the inside of us. I just stopped by to exhort and encourage and remind you to mind your own business. Stay out of the Father's business. Just know that's what children do. We say to our children, go now, this grown folks stuff. Stay out of grown folks' business. Let me tell you how you know that when you've gotten into the Father's business. When we're sitting around trying to figure out stuff, We done got off into the Father's business because he said, listen, lean not to your own understanding. I don't want you trying to figure it out. I already got it figured out. Just come to me and ask me for wisdom and I will give it to you. Whatever it is you need, he tells us, he said, listen here, I don't want you to be anxious. I don't want you to be worried about nothing, right? Listen here, as a parent, do you want your child going around being worried about stuff? Well, neither does our Heavenly Father. He tells us in Philippians 4, 6, and 7, he said, do not be anxious or worried about anything, but in everything, every circumstance and situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, continue to make your specific requests known to God. And the peace of God that passes, that the peace which reassures the heart, God's peace reassures the heart. God's peace gives us, cause our heart to be at peace. It reassures the heart. The peace which reassures the heart, that peace which transcends all understanding, the peace which passes all understanding, that peace which stands guard over your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. This is the peace he's talking about. This is the peace he's talking about. He's talking about the peace that passes all understanding. He's talking about the peace that passes all understanding. This is the kind of peace he's talking about. The peace that passes all understanding. He said, don't be anxious. Listen, do you want your kids running around here being worried about the light bill, worried about the gas bill, worried about anything? No. He said, the peace that passes all, excuse me one second. I'm on the phone, I'll call you back. The peace that passes all understanding will cover your heart and your mind. This is why I keep this ringer off. Will cover your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. He said, don't be anxious or worried about anything. Don't be anxious. Listen, when you start feeling yourself being anxious, when you start feeling yourself being worried, when you start feeling yourself being scared or afraid or heavy and burdensome, listen, the Lord is saying, that's when you know that you've gotten off into the Father's business. Mind your own business, right? Mind your own business and stay out of the Father's business. Be anxious for nothing. Whenever anxiety, fear is coming, you off into the Father's business. Whenever you're trying to carry the cares, the worries, and the fears, you done got off into grown folks' business. Stay out your Father's business and mind your own business. Whatever it is that he's telling us to do, then that's our part. But the Lord is saying, I need you to have childlike faith. I want you to live free. I want you to be carefree, and I want you to be happy. And so he's saying, listen, quit worrying about tomorrow. Don't be worrying about yesterday's bills tomorrow. Yesterday ain't even came yet. I just want you to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Listen, listen up. I got you. I just need you to focus on me. You're focusing on the wrong things. You're looking at the situations. You're looking at the storms. You're looking at the bills. You're looking at the waves. You're looking at the cares. You're looking at everything around you. But I need you to look at me. Just look on me. Just look at me, says the Lord. Cast your cares. Seek first the kingdom of God. He's saying, listen, your assignment is to chase after me. Your assignment is to ask me for wisdom. Your assignment is to follow after me. Seek first, Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, his way of doing things, his way of living, and all these other things will be added unto you. Why are you worried about what God, you are a child. When we come to him as child, like a child, having childlike faith, it causes us to be worry-free. It causes us to be carefree. I've been sharing this word today. I know whoever would have thought that mind your own business and stay out of the Father's business would give us peace, right? But we got to mind our own business. Mind our own business and stay out of our Father's business. Matthew 6:33. Let's see what he's saying here. What is he saying, Father? What are you telling your children? Therefore, Yeah, I say let's start here. Matthew 6:25. Therefore, I tell you, stop being worried or anxious, perpetually uneasy, distracted about your life. This is the Amplified Bible. As to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body as to what you will wear. Is life more than food and the body more than clothing? Listen, as children, when we got childlike faith, as a child is not worried about what he gonna eat, a child is not worried about what he gonna wear, a child is not worried about what he gonna drink. He looks to his parents for all of his provisions. And God is saying, listen, I need you to have childlike faith. I need you to come to me as a child. Because see, grown people don't see a need for parental guidance. I know, blessed is the poor in spirit, for they shall inherit the kingdom. The poor in spirit are people who know that they're needy for Jesus. A poor in spirit is a person who says, I need God, and without you, I can do absolutely nothing. How many of you know that children are needy and they depend on their parents to provide them with what they need? And God is saying, listen, just like your children are needy and they depend upon you for what they need, I want you to be needy and understand that you can do absolutely nothing without me anyway. The very breath that we breathe comes from him. Why are you worried about tomorrow? Tomorrow has enough worries of its own, Jesus is saying. He said, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow seed nor reap. They neither sow nor reap the harvest, nor gather their crops into the barn. They don't do none of that. And yet your heavenly Father keeps on feeding them. Are you not worth more than they? And who of you, by worrying, can add 1 hour to the length of his life? And why are you worried? Why are you worried about clothes? See how the lilies and the wildflowers of the field grow? They do not labor, nor do they spin wool to make clothing. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon, in all his glory and splendor, dressed himself like one of these. But if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is alive and green today and tomorrow, tomorrow is cut and thrown as fuel into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you? He said, you of little faith. Listen here, your children, if you tell your child something, they put their faith in it. Mom said she's going to buy me some candy today. They'll even tell other people, and yet they don't even have the candy. That's childlike faith. A child, you can just tell them something and they just instantly believe it. And this is how God wants us to be with him. He's our Abba Father. We're the children of God and sons of God. And if sons of God, then we're heirs of God. And if heirs of God, we're joint heirs in Jesus Christ. Listen, our Father is rich. You hear me? And because our Father is rich, we're rich. He owns the cattle on the hill, the cattle. Not only this, listen here. Our Father created the universe, for Christ's sake. I try to tell people that just because you don't have it, remember, you're still rich. One thing about a child, when they walk different, they act different. When you see kids that's really well off, you know, and well privileged, even though they don't have any credit cards in their pocket because they're too young, they can't be trusted with that yet, they still have this certain persona about them because they know, even though I don't got it, my Father got it. And you know, and that's how we're to walk, not in arrogance, but in humility and in confidence, knowing that whatsoever we ask when we pray, believe that we receive and we have it. And not only that, but this is the confidence that we have that if we ask anything according to his will, not only does God hear us, but he'll answer. Our Father is not trying to ignore us. This is why he's saying, be anxious for nothing, but in everything through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, just let your requests be made known unto me. Just come and tell me. You know, you called this person, you've called that person, you've called this person. But a lot of times we haven't even called on our Heavenly Father. How rude is it to get up in the morning and not acknowledge him? The very God who gives us the breath to breathe. We try to teach our children to be respectful. We try to teach our children manners. When you walk in a room, you're supposed to speak to people. You don't walk in a house and not say anything. But how is it when we wake up in the morning and we don't even acknowledge to God, our Abba Father, who gives us our very breath to breathe? I want you to know, this is why I say, before you start your day, why not first stop, drop, and pray? And acknowledge your Father in all your ways. Because when we don't acknowledge God, we ignore God. It's like walking in a room. It's like getting up in the morning and just pretending like he don't even exist. Lord, forgive us. Help us, Lord, forgive us. He said, but if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive and green today, and it burns up tomorrow. It says, listen, 31 says, therefore, verse 31. This is the Amplified Bible, Matthew 6:31. He says, therefore, do not worry or be anxious, perpetuated, uneasy, or distracted, saying, what are we going to eat, kids? What are we going to eat? What are we going to eat? Or what are we going to drink? Or what are we going to wear? For the pagans, the Gentiles, the people that's not saved, unbelievers, people who don't know God, people who don't acknowledge God. He said, for the pagan, Gentiles, they eagerly seek after all these things. This is what the world does. We are born again believers. We are heirs and joint heirs. We're king kids. As he is, so are we. We are children of God, sons of God, and we have to trust our Abba Father. I don't know about you, but I have childlike faith, and I am free. I am free. It's not about me taking care of me. Listen here, you are not here. You didn't ask to be born, and you're not here because it was your idea. You're here because it was God's idea. The word of the Lord tells us, he said, before the foundations of the world, that God knew you. I don't know about you, but I want to know what he knows. I'm hungering and I'm thirsting and, you know, our identity in Christ Jesus. We got to find out what our identity is in Christ Jesus so we can walk in the new. You're not broke. There is no lack. God is your Father and he has promised that he would supply our needs. And every day that we eat, even if you ain't got a bunch of food in your cabinet, even if you ain't got nothing in your freezer, if you ate that day, then God supplied your need for that day. Your Father is not a dad, be dad. Our Abba Father, we've been baptized, we've been adopted by him. Do you know how special it is to be adopted by someone? We have been adopted by God. We were born into sin, so we had to be born again. And then Jesus Christ had to pay a debt that we could not pay. So he gave his life, he shed his blood that he paid as a ransom, he became a sacrifice. He paid the debt that we could not pay. And you are aware, right, that our body is not our own because we've been bought with the price, the precious blood of Jesus. What is it we have that we did not receive? Can you trust your Abba Father to take care of you? You're not grown. We cannot come to him with the mindset of a grown person. I can do this. I got this. God, you sit over here. You be my co-pilot and I be the pilot. No, we don't want to be the pilot because we make a mess of stuff. We want to let God be the head of our lives. We want to follow him. We want to be led by his Spirit. So why are you worrying about what you're going to drink? Why are you worrying about what you're going to eat? Why are you worrying about the bills? Because when you see yourself outside of Christ, that's when you start to feel like you're an orphan. You're not an orphan. God is your Father. You are not alone. Jesus said, I won't leave you as an orphan, one translation say. Another translation say, I won't leave you comfortless, but I'll leave you with the comforter. You are not alone. God is everywhere at the same time. Our Abba Father is everywhere at the same time. He is personal. The number of the hairs of our head are counted. He is very personal. Everyone has a separate fingerprint. He's very detailed. When he put us together, we was not an accident, an incident, or a coincidence. He put detailed into us. He cares about us. See, God is how he is because of who he is. God is how he is because of who he is. God is how he is because of who he is. God is how he is because of who he is. Can we get that? That God is how he is because of who he is. God is love. That's who he is. And the reason he loves you because that's how he is. God is love. For God so loved. That's who he is. I want you to know that we don't have a dad be father. Listen, you didn't ask to be born. Children are a reward from the Lord. And listen, before the foundations of the world, not only did God know you, but he said, before the foundations of the world, God knew you. But he also knitted us together in our mother's womb. Do you know what that means? Before our mother and father was ever born, before the world was ever created, before the universe, before earth, heaven and earth was ever formed. He said, before the foundations of the world, God knew you. We came out of the mind of God. We came out of the heart of God. We're here because it was his idea. You're not a mistake. You're not an accident, an incident, a coincidence. No, God created us on purpose for a purpose because he has a good purpose in mind. Why not follow his lead? He said, listen here, you don't have to go around in lack, acting like you ain't got, just because you don't have it in your purse don't mean you ain't got it. Listen, when a child is rich and he's born into, you know, with a lot of money, and he knows that his parents is rich, and he knows that he don't have to lack for anything. And even though he don't have the money in his pocket, and even though he don't have the credit card in his pocket, he just has a whole new walk. He says, my daddy got it. I can go to my father and get it. No, I might not have it, but guess what? My daddy got it. My Abba Father, my Jehovah Jireh, my Abba Father, my Abba. This is why we cry Abba Father, because his witness, his spirit bear witness with our spirit to let us know we are children of God. We was adopted by God and we cry, Abba, Father. That's our Father. If you have accepted Jesus Christ as your son, listen here, as your Lord and Savior, you are not alone. Quit trying to take care of yourself. Listen, mind your business. Because when you're not minding your business, that's when you become worried. That's when you become burdensome. You start carrying stuff. And God's saying, give me that. Give me that. Just listen to this. The same way you don't want your kids worried is the same way God don't want his kids worried. Cast your cares upon the Lord. Be free and have childlike faith. Look at your children. Look how carefree they are. They're not worried about what they're going to eat. They're not worried about what they're going to drink. They're not worried about the gas bill, the electric bill. Your Heavenly Father saying, listen, I don't want you worrying about nothing. I want you to chase after me. I want your undivided attention. I want you to put me first. I want to be at the beginning of your day. I don't want the leftovers. If it don't cost you nothing, it don't count for nothing. You don't just serve me when it's convenient. I want a sacrifice, right? This is not about convenience. It wasn't convenient for Christ to go die on the cross. It wasn't about him. It was about us. It's not about us now. It's bigger than us, right? So let's seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He said, this is what the pagans do. They worry about what they're going to drink, what they're going to eat, what they're going to wear. This is how unsaved people think. This is how people who don't have a relationship with Christ think. This is how people who don't haven't accepted Jesus Christ think. He said, for the pagan Gentiles, eagerly, they seek all these things, but do not worry. For your Heavenly Father, he already knows that you need these things. Our Father, our Abba Father, already know we need clothes, we need food, we need shelter, we need cars. He already knows. He's our Father. Okay? You didn't ask to be born. You're here because it was God's idea. It's his responsibility to take care of us. So, like a child understands, it's mom and dad's responsibility to take care of me. Well, that's how God wants us to come, with childlike faith. Just when we read his word or we hear his word, just like our children take our word, just like our children repeat what we say when we tell them, hey, I'm going to the store now and get you some candy. Boy, they just instantly believe it. That's how God wants us to be. He wants us to have childlike faith. So he says, but first, he says, don't worry. He said, God, your Father know that you already need these things. But first and foremost, importantly, seek, aim at, strive after, this is the Amplified Bible, his kingdom and his righteousness, his way of doing and being right, the attitude and character of God. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the attitude of God. Seek first the character of God. And all these things will be given to you also. Seek first the kingdom of God. How many of you know that the provisions of God are in the will of God? The provisions of God are in the will of God. When we get in the will of God, everything that we need will be right there to meet us as we do what he say. The provisions of God are in the will of God. Everything has already been laid out before us. Everything has already been prepared for us. You know, as a child, when a parent cook, they fix their plate because the stove is too high. So when they finish cooking, they prepare the food, they prepare the meal, and then they put it in the plate and they sit it on the table. He prepares it for them. He prepares a place for you. He prepares a table before you. He's our Father. If we can get this revelation, if we can have childlike faith, look at your grandkids. Look at your kids. They don't worry. They're not toiling. They're not saying, Grandma, is the water bill due? Grandma, is the electric bill due? Grandma, is the rent going to be paid? They're not worried about stuff like that because their faith is in their grandparents. Their faith is in their parents. They're not worried about none of that. And God is saying, I need you to act like that. I need you to have childlike faith. He says, so do not worry about tomorrow. What you worried about tomorrow for? For tomorrow will worry about itself. Tomorrow has enough worries of its own. Each day has enough trouble of its own. This is the word of the Lord. Why are we worried about tomorrow? We're not even promised tomorrow. Matter of fact, it's boastful to be even bragging about tomorrow. We should be saying, if it's the Lord's will, right? Because we don't know what tomorrow. Listen here. If we can get this revelation of living with childlike faith, we can live worry-free. We can live carefree. Look at your grandkids. Just sit there one day and look at them. Look how they just play and they don't have a worry in the world. That's how God wants us to be, with childlike faith. He wants us to just trust him, come to him with the attitude of a child. We have to humble ourselves. We have to depart from evil, be not wise in our own eyes, quit trying to take care of ourselves, quit trying to figure it out, and say, you know what? God is my Abba Father, and I am his child, and I am here because it was God's idea. I did not ask to be born. The word of the Lord that says children are a reward from the Lord. I am here on purpose, for a purpose, and with God's good purpose in mind. And you guys, I'm getting ready to end it here. Because like a child, I have been set free because I have childlike faith. And I am trusting in my Abba Father to meet my every need. I am chasing after him. Whatever it is that I have to do, I am listening. I got my ear to the heart of God. I'm waiting to hear whatever it is, my part, whatever it is in the natural that I need to do. Here I am, Lord. I am ready. I am yielded. I am waiting, Father, for your word. It is my command. Isn't that what children do? They sit there and they listen to their parents, and their parents, they acknowledge their parents, and their parents tell them, this is what you can do, this is what you can't do. You can't go stay over your friend's house tonight. You can do this, but you can't do that. Isn't that what your parents do? Well, I'm sitting here, Father, my Abba Father, and I'm waiting for you. I worship you. I adore you, Lord God, for your word, it is my command. My word to you is mind your own business. Stay out the Father's business. Quit taking on cares that's not for you to cares. Quit taking on the cares of the world, the fears of the world. God already knows what we have need of before we can even think or ask. I want you to know that you're the apple of his eye, and God is mindful of us. And we have not a high priest who's not touched by the feelings of our infirmity. If it concerns you, it concerns him. So this is why I say, listen, cast your cares upon me because I care for you. God wants you to know that he cares for you. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so does our Heavenly Father have compassion on his. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. He says, let your compassion come to me that I may live, for your law is my delight. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. compassionate. He's slow to anger, but he's so rich in love. That's Psalms 103:13. Our Father has compassion on his children. He's touched. He's near to those with a broken and a contrite spirit. If it concerns you, it concerns him too. I'm getting ready to end it here, but you know what? I'm free. I got childlike faith. I'm waiting to hear what my Father got to say. Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Good Saturday morning. This is another good day that the Lord has made. And I don't know about you, but like I always say, I'm just so glad to be alive living in it. Thank you, Lord. You guys, today, this is Arthur Pearly Martin. Today, I'm going to be Rhema reading the word of the Lord. I'm going to be Rhema reading Matthew's chapter 8, but we're going to pray first. Father, we just thank you for being in the midst of us, for being amongst us. Holy Spirit, teach us, lead us, guide us. Give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and heart to receive your word. In Jesus' name, we pray again today, this day. You guys, I'm streaming live on my podcast, Arthur Pearly Martin Biblical Principles, and on YouTube, Gene Martin at 1681. My links are down below. You guys visit my podcast. If you're interested in this Bible study guide, it's down. The link is down below, the Amazon link. This is, again, a book good to take your Bible study notes in. You can take it to church when your pastor's preaching, teaching, or whatever. Or when you just at home alone doing your daily Bible study. Again, for every chapter, there's pages that you can write on. And in the back, there's some empty pages where you can take your notes. Okay? We're getting ready to jump in and get started. I pray I didn't lose my page. Okay, we're still screaming. Let's see. Okay, there I am. Okay, Matthew's 8. Let me pull up Matthew's 8. We're going to be reading from the New Living Translation. Let me invite some people in real quick so they can know I'm here, because we sleep late on Saturdays. I get it. Only reason I'm up is because the Lord woke me up. So when he wakes me up, that's when I get up. When he wakes me up, that's when I get up. Okay, so I'm not running behind. I'm running right on God's time. How many of you know that sometimes when things ain't going your way, it could just be because it's going God's way? How about that? Yeah, so let's just yield to the Holy Spirit and be led by him, right? Those who are the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. Yes, thank you, Lord. Those who are the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. I'm just inviting some people in. We're going to be Rhema word reading again, Matthew's chapter 8. If you guys can't tune in because you're sleeping late, just go on and hit the replay button and listen to it and share it with someone if it has been a blessing to you in any way, right? Because at the end of the day, the only thing that's going to really matter is what we do for the Lord Jesus Christ. The only thing that's going to last is what we do for him, because I like to tell people all this stuff on this earth, we're going to leave this stuff behind, right? If we live our life, the purpose of our life is to help lead someone else to Jesus Christ. So to show them, you know, that there is another way. I'm making ourselves available to him. The Lord created us on purpose for his good purpose. As ministers of reconciliators and ambassadors of Christ, to help reconcile people back to him and to make other disciples. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel, making other disciples, right? Okay, so we're getting ready to start here in just a second, a minute, a moment. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory, hallelujah, Jesus. Come on in. Getting ready to Rhema read Matthew's chapter 8. Okay? Thank you. Alrighty. Getting ready to start. Usually try to invite the people in who I know. Usually come on regular so they can know I'm here. Okay, here we go. Getting ready to start. Matthew's chapter 8. Good morning, Sister Vanessa. Good morning. Good morning. We're Rhema reading Matthew's chapter 8, New Living Translation. We're getting ready to start here. Matthew's 8, New Living Translations. Here is Jesus, when Jesus heals the man with leprosy. When he heals the man with leprosy. Matthew's 8, here we go, verse 1. Large crowds followed Jesus as he came down the mountainside. Suddenly, a man with leprosy approached him and knelt before him. "Lord," the man said, "if you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean." He said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean." How many of you know that God is willing? Because by his stripes, he said, we already healed. God is willing. He said, "Lord, if you, that is the will of the Lord that we be healed." He said, "Healing is the children's bread." The will of the Lord is that we be healed. This is why Jesus Christ took those stripes on his back. So if you've ever been wondering if it's God's will to heal, yes, it's God's will to heal. He says, "If you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean." Verse 3, Jesus reached out and touched him. So here we see Jesus reached out, touching the man. He said, "I'm willing. I'm willing. That's what I want. You just ask me my will. My will is what I want." God's will is what he wants for our lives. He said, "I'm willing. I'm willing," he said. Jesus said, Jesus reached out and touched him. "I'm willing," he said, "be healed." And instantly the leprosy disappeared. Then Jesus said to him, "Don't tell anyone about this. Instead, go to the priest and let him examine you. Take along the offering required in the law of Moses for those who have been healed of leprosy. This will be a public testimony that you have been cleansed." God was going to get the glory, but he had to go and get approved by the priest, because that was the law back then, right? But when people see that he's cleansed, when people see that we're whole, when people see that we're feel that we're complete, that's a testimony to the Lord. So he takes all those things that the devil meant for evil and he causes it to work together for the good of those who love him and who are called according to his purpose. He takes the mess and turns it into a message. He takes the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. This is undeniable. Listen, you knew who I was before Christ, and now you know who I am after Christ. Our very life is a testimony, should be a living testimony of Jesus Christ, of the delivering power of Jesus Christ. People should be able to look at your life and say, "Ooh, I know he's real," because I know he's real because I knew you before Christ and now I see you after Christ. And that's why our life should be a testimony of Jesus Christ. So he said, "Listen, let your light so shine so men will see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Let our light, let our lifestyle, let the way we live glorify him so people will see him in us and want and be drawn to the Lord Jesus Christ, right? That is one purpose of our lives, is to be a light in the midst of the darkness, is to be the salt of the earth. Thank you, Lord. He says, when Jesus returned to Capernaum, a Roman officer came and pleaded with him, "Lord, my young servant lies in bed, paralyzed and in terrible pain." Jesus said, "I will come and heal him." Boy, this is awesome. But the officer said, "Lord, I'm not worthy to have you come into my home." He said, "Just say the word from where you are, and my servant will be healed." Boy, thank you, Lord. He just sent his word and he healed him. He just sent the word and he healed him. There's no distance in God, and there's no distance in us, Vanessa. There's no distance in God, right? He's omnipotent, he's omnipresent, and he's everywhere at the same time. Thank you, Lord. He said, just say the word He said, just say the word. Just say the word. Just speak the word. Just say the word from where you are, and my servant will be healed. He said, I know this because I am under authority. He understood authority. When we understand authority, then we can come up under authority. He said, I understand authority of my superior officers. See, he said, listen, do we understand authority? Listen, when we have an understanding of authority, that may help our faith to operate that much clearly. He said, listen, I understand authority. I understand the authority of my superior officers, and I have authority over my soldiers. He said, listen, I understand authority. He said, I only need to say, he said, as an officer, because I understand authority, he's saying, he said, all I need to do is just say go, and they go, or come, and they come. He said, I understand the power of words. I understand the power of authority. Do we understand the power of the authority that's been invested in us by the Holy Spirit, by the Lord Jesus Christ? He said, I'm not going to leave you comfortless, but I'm going to leave you with a comforter, right? The Holy Spirit is the one that gives us the power. He's the one that do the work through us in the earth. Do you understand that by the power and the authority that's been invested in us by Jesus Christ, he said, I've given you the keys to the kingdom. He said, because keys represent authority, right? When you have the keys to a car, you have a right to that car. That gives you access. And when we have keys to come into an apartment, into our house or whatever, those keys represent access, authority. I have the authority to be here. I have the right to be here because I have the keys that unlocks everything. And Jesus said, I've given you the keys to the kingdom. I've given you the authority. I've given you the authority, that same power that raised Christ from the dead. Listen here. The same power that raised Christ from the dead is on the inside of us. He said, I've given you the keys to the kingdom. I've given you the keys to the kingdom. And whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Or one translation say, whatever you allow on earth should be allowed in heaven. Why? Because God is not going to override our will. He's given us. We don't have to call him back down to do anything. He said, I've given you, and in my name, the same way the apostles cast out the devils, the same way the apostles was able to raise the dead. It was that same power that quickened Jesus Christ's body. He says, our body, I just want to sit here for a second, for a minute, for a moment, because it's a good place to just sit here, just meditate, because he says that our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of the living God lives on the inside of us. The Spirit of the living God lives on the inside. Our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Our body, you got that? The same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, that's going to be that same power that's going to quicken our mortal body. That's that same power. We got that same power. We got the same power. We got the power of the Holy Ghost. We have the power of the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord. We got the power of the Holy Ghost living on the inside of us. That means when I lay hands on somebody, that's God in me, through me, and I lay my hands in faith, that's going to release and activate the power of God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. He said, are you willing? He said, Lord, I understand authority. Do you understand authority? Do you understand authority by the power? We have authority. We have authority in the earth. We have, and whatever we say on bind on earth, it happens in heaven. We have heaven backing us up. It's in the name of Jesus. Jesus said, I give you permission to use my name. There's power in the name of Jesus. Demons must bow at the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. He says, so I understand. When I say go, they go. When I say come, they come. And if I say to my slaves, do this, they do it. I understand authority. I understand. When you understand authority, all you got to do is just speak the word and it'll be done. We understand, because that's what Jesus did. That's how Jesus dealt with the demons. He just spoke the word. He didn't have to go over there and tussle with the devil. He said, come out and come out, right? Come out. When he came into the presence of the demons, it would torment them. And they say, Jesus, why are you here to torment us before our time? Because that anointing, when the anointing of God is on your life, and you too, when you step in a room, it will bring conviction. It's not us, it's the God in us. It's bigger than us. It's not about us. It's about the God on the inside of us. And they say, listen, it's something different about you. You're different. It's something different about you. That's good, because what they're saying is, I see the God inside of you. He said, verse 10, he said, when Jesus heard this, he was amazed. Turning to those who was following him, he said, I tell you the truth, I haven't seen faith like this in all of Israel. No one else has believed me in this way. In other words, verse 11, he said, and I tell you this, that many Gentiles will come from all over the world, from east and west, and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob at the feast in the kingdom of heaven. But many Israelites, those for whom the kingdom was prepared, will be thrown into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the Roman officers, go back home. He said, go back home. He said, go back home. He said, because you believe, it has happened. Listen, because you believe. He told the Roman soldiers in Acts 16:31, the Apostle Paul said, listen, because you believe, not only shall you be saved, but your household also. He said, because you believe. Jesus said it was because the Roman officer believed, because he interceded. He stood in the gap for his servant back home. He stood in the gap. It was because he believed. Not because his servant back home was sick. It wasn't his servant that believed, but it was because he believed. It was because my mama believed, Acts 16:31, that if she believed, not only shall she be saved, but her household. And I'm here today. I'm just a living testimony of the prayer that she prayed. And I'm sure the Lord probably had other people praying for me also, standing praying in the Holy Ghost, because when we pray in tongues, we pray in an unknown spirit. We pray the perfect will of the Lord. But I know for a fact that she was one of the ones who believed, because my mama believed, because you believed. Jesus said, because the Roman officer believed, he said, go home. He said, because you believed, it has happened. Because you believed, because you believe, it has happened. Because you believe, if you believe, not only shall you be saved, but your household also. Acts 16:31. And the young servant was healed that same hour. He was healed because the Roman officer believed. Some people gonna get delivered. Some people gonna get healed. Some people gonna be made whole because you believe, because you stood in the gap. For I look for a man to stand in the gap. Will you stand in the gap? Will you intercede? Will you intercede on behalf of someone else who maybe don't believe? Will you stand in the gap? Because this is intercession. The Roman officer was making intercession on behalf. He stood in the gap for his interior. Who are you standing in the gap for? Are you standing in the gap for your family members? Are you standing in the gap for your loved ones? Are you standing in the gap for your children? Are you standing in the gap for a sick neighbor or a friend or whoever? Who are you standing in the gap for? Will we allow God to use us? We say it all the time, Lord, use me. The Roman soldier allowed the Lord to use him to stand in the gap. He wasn't thinking about himself. He was thinking about someone else. Do you have any sick friends? Do you have any sick family members? Will you go? Will you just go before the Lord and stand in the gap? Because he said, because you believe. He said, because you believe. He said, because you believe, your servant, your young servant was healed that same hour. He said, go back home because you believe. Matthew 8:13 says, because you believe, it has happened. And the young servant was healed that same hour. It was because the Roman officer believed, and God honors faith, because without faith, it's impossible to please God, right? So he had faith. Jesus was impressed by his faith. As he said, I haven't found such faith in all of Israel. He was impressed. He was moved, because without faith, when we don't believe God, we call him a liar. So without faith, it's impossible to please God. Not only do we have to believe that he exists, but we have to believe that he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. I dare you to diligently seek him. Just, I'm telling you, I've had to sit in his face. We need to put our face in his face, put our head, our heart to his heart, and just cry out to him sometimes, and just cry out to him and say, Lord, you said, if I believe, not only shall I be saved, but my household also. Acts 16:31, Lord, you sent your word the same way you sent your word and you healed the Roman officers, Father. We send your word, we speak your word, and we see it send healing to our loved ones. Do you have anyone that needs healing? Do you need healing? Because there's no distance. There's no distance. Matthew 8:14, it says, when Jesus arrived at Peter's house, Peter's mother-in-law was sick in bed with a high fever. Anybody sick in bed with a high fever? Listen, Jesus Christ is the same today as yesterday and forever. Hello, my beautiful sister Letha. Roraima reading Matthew 8:14. He said, when Jesus arrived at Peter's house, Peter's mother-in-law was sick in bed with a high fever. But when Jesus touched her, you know, we got the spirit, that same power, we got it on the inside of us. It says, but when Jesus touched her hand, he said, the fever left her. Is anyone around you with the fever? Is anyone around you sick? Is anyone around you here? He left his word for example. The same power that's operating in Jesus Christ in Matthew 8:15 is the same power that's inside of us. Our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Our body is a place where the spirit of the living God is dwelling. When we lay our hands, that's just not us laying our hands, but when we lay our hands in faith, I'm saying in faith, believing that it's not us, but it's the God in us. It's not having faith in our faith. It's having faith in what Jesus Christ say. Lay your hands in faith, knowing that the spirit of the living God lives on the inside of you, on the inside of us. We're his hands, his feet. It's in him and because of him that we live, that we move, and that we have our very existence, that we have our being. Our body is the temple. We are walking epistles. We are ambassadors of Christ. And if we continue in his word, he said, you are my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The word of the living God is the power of God unto salvation. It has the power to deliver us. It has the power to heal us. It has the power to settle us. It has the power to establish us, right? Verse 15, he says, but when Jesus touched her hand, he said the fever just left her when he touched her hand. Touch somebody, touch them in faith. We got to do it in faith, believing it's not my hand, it's not me, it's bigger than me, but it's the God inside of me. It's not me, it's the God inside of me. He's using me. We say, Lord, use me, Lord. Well, he said, just make yourself available. Will you just yield your members? Whoever we yield our members to, that's who we serve it to. We think just being used ain't just on Sunday in the church house, but being used is every day in our everyday life. He said, but when Jesus touched her hand, the fever left her. Then she got up and prepared a meal for him. Thank you, Lord. She was healed and she got up and she began to serve him. Forget not the Lord's benefits. When he blessed you, when he bring you into that wealthy place, when he answered those prayers that you prayed, forget not the Lord's benefits. Don't forget to stop and tell him thank you. Just for a second, for a minute. He said, there was 10 of you, he said, to the lepers, but only one come back. He said, where's the other 9? Why they didn't come back to say thank you? How many of you know that the Lord wants us to say thank you? A grateful heart. A grateful heart is a thankful heart. Excuse me. The Lord wants us to say thank you. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done. I just want to say thank you. Anthony Brown sings at group therapy. I just want to say thank you. I just want to say thank you, Lord. I just want to say thank you, Lord. Forgive me for ignoring you, because we know that it's rude when someone do something for us and we don't say thank you. Lord, you woke us up this morning, Lord, and we just want to say thank you, Lord. We want to say thank you for your breath that we breathe. We want to say thank you because of you. It's your strength. It's only because of you that we're able to move, that we're able to live, and that we're able to have our being, Lord. We just want to say thank you. We just want to say thank you, and we'll make ourselves available too, Lord, and we'll serve you today, Lord. She prepared a physical meal to serve him, but he's not here so we can physically feed him, but we can serve him in other ways just by yielding our members to him and making ourselves available to him. Verse 16, Matthew 8:16, he said, that evening, many demon-possessed people were brought to Jesus. Listen, this is today. This is the word of the Lord. This is why we don't fear demons. Demons are to fear the God that's on the inside of us. This is why we say in Galatians, greater is he that's within me than he that's in the world. This is why we don't fear witches and warlocks. And how many of you know that the devil cannot curse what God has blessed? Okay, the devil cannot curse what God has blessed. So let's make sure that we're walking in obedience to God, that we're walking in fellowship with God, so we don't open ourselves up to the curses, right? Because there is consequences to our sins. The wages of sin lead to death, right? So we want to stay in fellowship with him. We want to walk in fellowship with the Lord. We want to walk in the light as he is in the light. Because when we walk in obedience to his word, that's when we're walking in fellowship with who he is. We're walking in fellowship with how he is. Thank you, Lord. Verse 16, it says, that evening, many demon-possessed people were brought to Jesus. This is why we don't fear demons. Demons are to fear us. Witches, warlocks, all this stuff, they're to fear us. You don't fear demons. Demons have got to bow at the name of Jesus. Exactly. God has not given us a spirit of fear, Letha, but power, love, and a sound mind. We have the greater one on the inside. So it says, that evening, many demon-possessed people were brought to Jesus. He cast out the evil spirits with a simple command. He didn't wrestle with them. He didn't tussle with them. With a simple command, he cast out the evil spirit. Remember, the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead is on the inside of us. He cast out the evil spirits with a simple word, and he healed all the sick. This fulfilled the word of the Lord through the prophet Isaiah, who said, he took our sicknesses and removed our disease. Thank you, Lord. Matthew 8:18. He said, when Jesus saw the crowd around him, he instructed his disciples to cross to the other side of the lake. Then this is the cost of following Jesus. This title up here says the cost of following Jesus. You know, there is a price, right? That means we're going to sacrifice our life. That means we're going to give up our way for his way in order to follow Jesus Christ. Because when we try to hold on to our life, that's when we lose our life. But when we lose our life, when we're willing to give up our way for his way, when we're willing to surrender our will for his will, that's when we lose our life for Christ's sake. And this is when we can follow after Jesus Christ. He said, when Jesus saw the crowd around him, he instructed his disciples to cross to the other side of the lake. Then one of the teachers of the religious law said to him, teacher, I will follow you wherever you go. Verse 20, Jesus replied, foxes have dens to live in and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place even to lay his head. 21, another of his disciples said, Lord, first let me return home and bury my father. Hear Jesus saying, you know, what's our excuse for not following him? What's our excuse for not spending time with him? Because listen, whatever takes the place of God in our life, become the God of our life, right? So here they are making excuses. Jesus said, come on, follow me. He said, but Lord, first I need to go back home and I need to bury my father. But Jesus told him, follow me now. Follow me now. Follow me like right now. Spend time with me like right now. Not later on, not later this evening. I mean, just right now. I need you to spend time with me right now. I need you to follow me right now, 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 not later, Now, how many of you know, delayed obedience is disobedience? What is it that the Lord is asking you to do? What is it he's asking you to do, like right now, right now, right now, right now? He said, follow me now. Let the spiritually dead bury their own. He's saying spiritually dead. Let the dead bury the dead. Verse 23, we got these excuses why we don't want to follow him, why we can't do what he tell us to do. You know, the man that was by the pool, he said, listen here, Jesus came to me, said, you want to be made whole? He'd been laying there for 38 years, a paraplegic man. And he just began with all these excuses. But you know, I have no one to put me in the pool. You know, I every time I get ready to go, somebody get in front of me whenever the angels stir the water. I mean, what is our excuse for not doing what God is asking us to do? There's no condemnation. It's just a question. We're just reading it. We're just seeing ourselves in the text and just pulling some things out. 23, he said, then Jesus got into the boat and started across the lake with his disciples. Suddenly, a fierce storm struck the lakes, the waves breaking into the boat, but Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him up shouting, Lord, save us. We're going to drown. How many of you know that the word of the Lord says that Jesus is...